Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Saving the show is Heath Bell. Heath, welcome. Great to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
All right, so Padres, game one. There are only four hits in the entire game. We could talk about Wheeler was great. Yu Darvish was really good, too. What was your thoughts on game one?
You know, Wheeler was great. I tell people all the time, if you're a starting pitcher and you're going to throw about 100 pitches, if you're, like, on that night and you're kind of, like, so-called perfect, you're going to probably have five mistakes. And usually the other team doesn't hit your mistakes. And Wheeler, I thought, made one mistake, and Will Myers got a base hit up the middle.
Yep.
And the Philly, you know, Yu Darvish made kind of two mistakes, and they just happened to go pretty far. Philly hit some home runs.
My joke earlier today was if the Everett deck wasn't there, the Schwarber home run would have ended up in Mission Valley, where the old ballpark used to be.
If it was at the old Murph, it probably hit the freeway.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly, it would have. I did a Holiday Bowl there, so I do know it a little bit. So when you sit there and you look at the lineup that the Padres have, right? We know Soto and Machado. What do they need out of Josh Bell?
They just need him to start making contact a little bit more. I mean, when we got him from the Nationals, he was leading the National League or second in the National League with the most multiple hit games, you know, like getting two more hits per game. And the last month of the season in the playoffs, he just hasn't been doing that. I don't know if it's just a different scenery or different pitching or whatnot, but he hasn't been getting multiple hits. And we could really use Josh Bell getting some hits, multiple hits. That's why we got him. He has power from both sides, but it's more, you know, getting some hits in the game to get some guys on base and have some other guys drive him in. So, or vice versa, or, you know, he would drive like Machado in or Soto in. So, you know, if we can get him swinging the bat a little bit better, then, you know, we might have a better chance against the Phillies.
How do you look at the matchup? We know what Aaron Nola has done. Nola down the stretch with the scent of a postseason, he's pitched to his credit very well. Give us the update on Blake Snell, whom I thought pitched pretty well against the Dodgers.
Well, Blake Snell's we don't say it very often anymore, like big game pitchers.
Yeah.
I think Blake Snell is that big game pitcher, kind of like the Jack Morris back in the day or the Al Leiter, where you knew that he was going to come up big in a big situation. He was going to dominate. All year long, you know, he has good games, bad games, but in the crucial games, he usually steps it up. And people ask all the time, like, why can't you do that 24/7? And it's just different. But I think he's a big game pitcher. And tonight's going to be another probably pitching fest. This might just be a pitching fest series where whoever makes, you know, an error here or walk here, the other team, you know, has to capitalize because there's not going to be any mistakes on the mound very much.
Which gets us to eventually the bullpens in this one. The Phillies bullpen, to its credit, much improved. How, as an expert on this subject, and you are the expert, how do you feel about the Padres bullpen? Should they be in a spot to win the game?
Padres bullpen reminds me of the days that, like, in 07 when I was there, when it didn't matter who was going to be in the game.
Yep.
It didn't have to be our ace. We knew that we were going to put up zeros left and right and every inning. And if somebody didn't have it, somebody was going to come in and bail them out and get a ground ball double play or a strikeout with no outs, bases loaded, and then get a ground ball double play. It just seems like the Padres bullpen knows exactly when to get a strikeout, when to get a ground ball, and it just seems like everything's working for them right now. So it's fun to watch, especially since I'm a bullpen guy.
Yeah. Snell's the kind of guy now that he doesn't have Kevin Cash as a manager, can give you six innings.
So, yeah, definitely.
Sorry, Kevin, but it really wasn't the greatest move. When you look at, we always talk about analytics and going through an order a third time. How do you view that as somebody who's lived it and obviously, you know,
And of course, you know, I mean, you lived it in the bullpen, but how do you now view that going through an order the third time?
So it varies from game to game, because here's the thing, like, you know, Cash pulled Snell out of the game, and I think it cost him the World Series because he was on that day.
Yes.
Nobody was going to hit him that day, but you have some games sometimes that, you know, the first time through a lineup, you say, okay, and the second time, you're like, okay, they're starting to hit him, but he's still getting guys out. But you see, it's like he's starting to get hit a little bit. They're not being fooled. Where the third time, they're probably not going to be fooled. But then there's some games where the first two times, the batters are just fooled. Like, they just are swinging a miss, and you just have no idea, or they're getting overpowered. And it doesn't matter the third time through the lineup, because the hitters are so frustrated the first two. But it's almost like some pitchers nowadays, it's like, we're going to try to I'm only going to throw you one or two pitches the first time through the lineup. And then the next time the lineup, I'm going to throw you all my pitches. And then that third time through the lineup, you don't have any extra things for him, so the hitter has seen every pitch. But there's some days, like, you know, look at Wheeler last night. It didn't matter if he went three times through the lineup or four times through the lineup.
Agreed.
Guys weren't going to hit the ball because he was that demanding. So that's why I look at, like, look at the pitch count. They always say this, you know, mark of 100 pitches, you know, whatnot. It shouldn't be 100 pitches. It should be how the guy is going. If his pitches are starting to elevate and he's missing the catcher's glove, missing the zone where he wants to throw the ball, pull him out after 60 or 70 pitches. It's okay, because there's going to be some games you probably go 110, 120 pitches. Yeah. But then there's some games that you just don't have it that day, and you're just trying to get four or five innings out of you and just to say, okay, great, I only gave up one run, let's go.
1975 World Series Game 4, Cincinnati. Louis Tiant threw 161 pitches. Oh, and by the way, was the winning pitcher. So, I mean, yeah. You know.
It's the analytics. If you use the analytics as like your, like I always tell pitching analogy, you have to spot your fastball.
Yep.
If you can hit your fastball every single time, like Rivera did it as a closer. You know, he had a little cut fastball. That was it. Nothing really else. But if you have a fastball and you hit your spots, then your breaking ball looks that much better. So if you use the analytics as like your secondary pitch and not your firstary pitch, I think it really helps a lot. But too many times nowadays, I've been watching and seeing in the game the last couple of years, is analytics is number one. And the easiest thing I can go back to is look at, you know, Cash back in when Tampa had Snell, third time through the lineup, we got to get him out. Well, if analytics is real and analytics is true, there's two things that'll happen. One, there'll never be a no-hitter, a perfect game. And two, the Oakland A's should be in first place every single year.
Yes.
Since they grandfathered the whole thing, but yep, they're not.
Right.
So you have to use it as a secondary, as like a helper. You can't use it as your number one. You got to have baseball knowledge, and then you use your secondary with all the analytics. And there you go. It's kind of like the age-old thing that you probably remember and I remember, and this generation doesn't. You always play a guy on his birthday or if he just had a child.
That's right.
For some odd reason, those times, great things will happen for some reason.
Yep.
And nobody can explain that. There's no numbers. There's no rhyme or reason. It just happens.
I know. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Is there more pressure on hitters to produce something in the first six innings of a game because bullpens in the postseason have the potential to be so dominant?
You know, it's kind of funny. I would say I would say the middle three, kind of like the 4-5-6 or, you know, the 5-6-7 is probably the pressure situation for the hitters.
Yep.
The first time, I don't think the hitters are just trying to get comfortable. They're just trying to, you know, they would love to hit early, and then hitting's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that second third of bat is where, you know, in the beginning, like the leadoff area, is like that's the real pressure of, okay, I got to get a hit here because, you know, next time up or the bottom of, you know, if I don't get a hit here, then the bottom of the lineup's going to see the best bullpen guys out there. So we got to do something here. So I think there's a lot of pressure on the hitters, but I think it's really in the middle lineup. The middle game, rather.
Yeah. How much pressure is on the Padres tonight? And look, I know home field means something in the playoffs, but, I mean, teams have been winning on the road, as we've seen through this.
Yeah, the Phillies have been a team, obviously, that's been winning on the road. They've only lost one road game in the playoffs so far. But is there a lot of pressure on the Padres this afternoon because of the situation?
Well, I think you have to have pressure on the situation because you want to win in front of your home. You want to do it. You don't want to have to go down two games to nothing and then go into Philly. Got to win basically every single game to kind of really get back into it, you know, or you're just going to be, you know, neck against the wall. But, you know, I don't think the Padres are down. I think it was like, okay, there was two pitching matchups. The Phillies hitters just did a little bit better than our hitters did. You know, it was close towards the end. We had a chance. We just didn't get a big hit towards the end of the game mm-hmm. in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But I think these two teams really match up. And I'm loving and watching how, you know, the two wild card teams, the two teams that kind of got into the playoffs are beating everybody. But they're really good. It's not like they're just a fluke. They're really good teams that have had some injuries or had some issues during the season. And that's kind of why they fell off and they didn't win their division. So these are two really good teams that you could see winning or going into the playoffs year in and year out, the Phillies and the Padres. So it's fun to watch. And, you know, I want the Padres to win. And I would love it to go to game seven and see what happens.
One last question. It deals with Juan Soto. He was acquired along with Josh Bell for a reason, but Soto was the center of the entire deal to get the Padres over the top. We know what a talent he is and what a great concept he has of the strike zone. Why hasn't it clicked for him? He's had some good moments, but is there also some moments where it's just not quite the same? You feel like it's the same Juan Soto as we saw with Washington.
You know what I think? My only take on it is, you know, in Washington this year, he didn't really want to be there, so he just decided and he didn't have a whole lot of protection besides Bell, and Bell kind of raised his game this year. Yeah. Is he was just going to, you know, take a bunch of walks, and that'll be fine. And then he gets traded to San Diego, and he tried to – at first he was fine the first couple of games, and then after that he really didn't get a hit, and I think he tried to do too much, swing more often than he was comfortable with the last couple months. And now he's kind of in that transition where should I swing, should I not swing? Because some great hitters, they'll go out of the zone to hit a ball to get a base hit the other way or to hit that home run or something like that. Or like Guerrero will go way down and get one. You know, you don't hear it any too more like bad ball hitters. But I just think he's been so patient this year and last year with Washington that it's kind of hard to change a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he's trying a little too much. Where this year, I mean, unfortunately, he was just not being pitched to. So he didn't swing a lot and didn't swing at those pitches that were right on the border. And he was getting those calls. And now he has to swing at those pitches because he can't always walk. You know, the Padres need him to swing the bat and get some hits. So it's just one of those times. Like sometimes, you know, Bryce Harper is just tearing it up and having an all-star year. And then there's mm-hmm. sometimes that has more power than others. You know, he's hitting for average this year and hitting for power another year, and it's kind of a rhythm thing. So, and I just think he was in a rhythm of walking, and we kind of need him to get some hits. So he's trying to do the best of both.
Well, you're a hit with the audience, so I appreciate the time you gave us very much today, Heath. Enjoy it today.
Thanks, and have a good one.